So pretty much all day Saturday, I was over at the 2014 Fargo Film Festival. And joining us right now from the film festival is the executive director of the Fargo Theater, Emily Beck. And Emily, it was another great year, wasn't it?
Oh, you know, I'm glad to hear they had a good time, Bob. We were really pleased with how things panned out, and it was just a really incredible week in downtown Fargo.
Before we get anything into details, once again, I like the comparison we made the last time we chatted about how big this has grown over the last 14 years.
Oh, absolutely. It's incredible. You know, we started out as basically a 2.5-day festival showing 30 films, and this year it was a 5-day festival showing over 100. It's been remarkable.
And the attendance, by the way, ladies and gentlemen, the one night that the two films about the oil patch showed, Matt Olean was up front talking about it, and he says, just for the heck of it, he says, how many people are here for the first time to the Fargo Film Festival? Mm-hmm. And I swear half the audience raised their hand, and it was a pretty good crowd in that downtown, on that down floor there.
Absolutely, and we did that several times over the course of the festival, and we were just tickled to see how many new people were giving the festival a try, and then we were getting really great responses from them. So that's what we like to see. That's what's going to keep this event growing every year.
What goes on behind the scenes of the festival? How were these judged? Who judged them?
Absolutely. You know, we have a team of 58 volunteers this year, and then Fargo Theater has 2 full-time staff members. So there's a team of about 60 people. The films are screened by category. So each category has its own jury. There's a student jury. There's a narrative feature jury. There's a doc short jury. They watch all the selections that were submitted in that category. They decide what's selected, and then they award winners and honorable mentions within that category.
And is this a long process? Because I think you said you had over 300 films this year.
Goodness, yes. And actually, we open up for submissions usually about a week after the next festival is done. We'll open up for submissions for the following year, and it's kind of a year-long process. So these volunteers are really dedicated individuals.
Some may have noticed on the when they were watching the film festival that some of these may have been, you know, dated 2012. Is there a length of time that they can be available for a film festival?
Absolutely. Well, every festival is different. We try to get stuff that's been, I believe our rule is 3 years from the submission date. It could have been completed 3 years from the submission date. So we try to keep fairly fresh product coming through. Some festivals will take things that are considerably older, but we want to keep things moving along here at the Fargo Fest.
By the way, the ladies and gentlemen, for those of you, I said ladies and gentlemen again, where did that come up with? I'm sorry. but there was, I have to mention that Art Phillips, good friend of mine, who has I've met, known for many, many years, was the recipient of the Ted Larson Award. And you showed The Road to Little Rock, and it was the first time I'd ever seen that film. It was quite breathtaking, quite interesting.
Oh, yes. Art has made a remarkable film with The Road to Little Rock, and that's actually the third time it's shown at the Fargo Theater. The first two times it's screened to practically sold-out crowds. So there's just been a wonderful response in the community and actually all over the country to that film. And we couldn't think of a better recipient for the festival's highest honor for Art Phillips this year. That was just... that was a really special moment on closing night.
So let's talk about some of the movies that were winners. The animation honorable mention was Light Me Up. This was really a cute movie out of Eugene, Oregon.
Absolutely, yeah, yeah. It was just kind of something that makes you smile, and they were doing some creative things with it, combining animation and live action, and it was just kind of a sweet, quirky little comedy film about a family of light bulbs. The youngest son wants to, you know, his great dream is to go be a spotlight on Broadway. And so instead of going into the family business, and so it just kind of follows that little family, and it's just a fun little piece that the audience seemed to really like.
It was so cute and only 9 minutes long, but I mean, you just came away breath, you know, your breath was taken away. First prize for the best student film. The winner is there, a boy finds a dinosaur in the woods. I guess I don't have the name of this.
Well, it's called First Prize.
Oh, it is? Okay, yeah, there you go.
And then it did win First Prize in our student category. And I think for those that saw it, they can understand why. They bring a dinosaur to life in the film. And for student filmmakers, the special effects were just outstanding.
And it was a puppet. Right?
It was. Yeah, they received a special grant through HBO Films to bring this dinosaur puppet to life. He had a great story. The filmmaker was visiting from New York, and he had a great story about this dinosaur puppet coming from China and getting stuck in customs for a month and then showing up and then having to shoot the next day. And it was just really fun to hear from him.
Can you imagine being stuck in customs and people going up there, what in the world is this? You
know? Exactly. Yeah, the director said people just weren't really sure what was going on. They were shipping a dinosaur into the country.
Now, this next one that won, narrative short, honorable mention, I should say, was called Foxes. And mm-hmm. I had a little bit of time, a tough time figuring this out until the very end. It was kind of a teaser for the mind, wasn't it?
Absolutely, yeah. You know, Foxes is a film that's played at a lot of sci-fi and fantasy festivals. I suppose you could even say it has some elements of a horror film to it, as you're just kind of, some mysterious things are happening throughout the film, and you're just not quite sure what's going on until the very creepy ending.
And that was also, you had a lot of movies from Ireland this year, didn't you?
We did. We had a large representation from Ireland, and then quite a few films from Australia and New Zealand.
And by the way, we'll talk about, I tell you what, let's take a break. We'll talk about the interviewer next. And one of the, I think it was the producer from Australia, came mm-hmm. over to receive her award. So let's take a break, and we'll be back to talk about the interviewer in just a moment here on the Mighty 790 KFGO. Mm-hmm. 11 minutes now before the hour. Back we are. Nighttime Live continues here on the Mighty 790 KFGO, and joining us is Emily Beck. She is the executive director over there at the Fargo Theater, and we're talking about the big Fargo Film Festival that wrapped up on Saturday, and we're talking about some of the great movies that were made awards. What really surprised me, Emily, and this was talk about a lot of people who were there, and there were a lot of questions that came up from the audience. When will these be released? When will I be able to see them? You know, you get to see them in a theater setting, but yet you get to see them, and you want to see them on DVD as well. Is it a long process? Have you talked to people how that works as far as getting them in full-fledged release to people?
Yeah, you know, and it's different for the different types of films. The feature-length films, a lot of them go on to find success, whether that's through Redbox or Netflix or theatrical distribution. So they're, you know, they're playing in movie theaters. The people that make feature-length films do end up with more options. The shorts, however, you know, they definitely have a harder time finding their way onto DVD into people's homes. So I think that's one of the reasons that festivals like these are really important, because it's one of the few ways that you get to see these short-format films.
The interviewer, which was a 12-minute best narrative short from Australia, was, I think, one of the most beautiful movies, if you know anybody or have anybody who may have a handicap in your family. And can you describe the people what that was all about?
Absolutely. Basically, the premise is pretty simple. A man goes into a very prestigious law firm for an interview, and he's greeted by a man with Down syndrome. And the man with Down syndrome takes him back to the interview room and begins the interview. And the man who's there to apply for the job, at first, he's a little unsure, but then he kind of comes to see that there's probably a lot more than he originally suspected. So I don't want to give too much away in case people are able to find this film online or if it eventually does find distribution, but it's a beautiful, moving, wonderful little movie.
I did find it online, but I did find, it's theinterviewer.com.au. And on it is a 10-minute video of the preparation from the this group Box Films. I can't remember the name right now, but what they did is that they have a lot of people with handicaps who work on these films. They want to be a filmmakers, and they show the different varieties and the different types of jobs that these people have done for this film. And it's just awe-inspiring.
Absolutely. It shows that, you know, people with disabilities, when it comes to the arts, they're limitless. You know, it was inspiring, and the film is as well made as you can possibly imagine, and it has a wonderful message. And it's empowering these people with disabilities to be artists. And I love that. Everything about that I love.
And by the way, for you Harry Potter fans, there is a couple of mentions about Harry Potter in it. So.
Absolutely. We get to see someone do an impression of Lord Voldemort mid-job interview.
There's two more I want to talk about real quick. Three Mile Limit was the winner of the Best Narrative Feature, mm-hmm. which kind of surprised me a little bit, Emily, and I'll tell you why.
Sure.
The lady who was doing the hosting that night, Brittany Goodman, she mentioned, if you've seen a pirate ship, or a pirate radio, I should say, mm-hmm. Then you're going to like this. But she said, but I think this one is better. And I thought, you know, this is almost a twin to that movie.
Yes, they are definitely related films. You know, they're tackling the same idea of, individuals going out basically 3 miles into the ocean so they can have freedom on the airways. They're definitely similar stories. But I probably like this one better as well.
So anyway, New Zealand also was a pain in the butt. They wouldn't let radio stations play rock and roll back in the 60s.
Exactly.
So that's basically what it is. They take the boat out to international water.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Okay. Well, I didn't mean that, but then I'm being a film critic, just like Roger Moore was. Okay.
There's no problem with that. I actually had a different favorite narrative feature in the festival, but that was the one that the jury picked. So I'm happy to honor their wishes.
Okay. Now there's one other movie that I want people to keep an eye on, and I want people to see this so bad.
Okay.
And that is, it's pronounced Rubé.
Mm-hmm.
And it's spelled R-U with a little, I don't know what you call it, a little dash over it, and then B-A-I with a little dash over the I.
Mm-hmm.
And this was such a phenomenal film. You guys showed it twice, and it got huge reaction from the audience both times. And that kind of surprised me that didn't pick up any type of a win or a mention.
Yeah, actually, it was probably one of my top three favorite films in the whole festival, in case you couldn't guess, is the fact it's the only one I programmed twice. And yeah, I guess I do. I'll be honest. I wish it would have gotten an award from the jury, but it didn't. And the audience definitely seemed to love it. And it is one of the films that people bring up to me over and over again since the festival has taken place. And all day long today, people were talking about it. And I think it's one of those little movies that you don't forget. It just stays with you.
Can you get me a copy?
I will do my best. I'm not supposed to say which festival, but they actually just got into one of the most premier festivals in the world, and we're actually shipping our Blu-ray to this very prestigious festival next for them.
Oh, super.
So this very prestigious festival is going to be getting a little disc in the mail from Fargo.
it's subtitled, and it's from Ireland, but what language was that?
I'm not sure if it's called something other than Irish. I feel foolish right now, but I'm not sure. But
it just didn't seem like that was a full-blooded Irish brogue to it. But maybe I'm sure I'm wrong. But this was a beautiful story about an 8-year-old girl in class at a religious school. She's getting ready for her first mm-hmm. communion, and all of a sudden she tells the teacher and the priest she's an atheist, and she pulls out a book on Charles Darwin.
Yep.
And then later on in the movie, you get a chance to find out why she feels that way. And it's, it's very understandable.
Absolutely. And it's very powerful. And you think at first that this might just be kind of a comedy about a feisty little girl with her own, this little red-haired girl with her, fiery spirit. But then as the movie unfolds, you really see where she's coming from. And I'll have to admit, I get teary-eyed every time I see it.
Well, I sent a post. I found it on Facebook. And Rubé does have a Facebook page. And on it, I wrote, saw at the Fargo Film Festival in the States. Wonderful film and definitely a crowd favorite. And they wrote back. And they said,
wonderful.
Hi, Bob. She says, thanks a million for your feedback. We're delighted at the audience reaction from Fargo. And then she wrote something that I have no idea. It's a different language. I'll have to get a translator and try to figure that out. Bring up Google Translate on that one.
Absolutely.
I'm guessing that's Gemma O'Shaughnessy, and she was one who was a part of putting that movie together. But it is a wonderful, wonderful film. And even if you go to, I forget what it was, but if you do a Google search on it, you will get a trailer on it. And it's just, take a look at it. This beautiful little redhead darling, and she tells her priest she's an atheist. So it was very, very good. Well, listen, you had a heck of a week. I saw that you've got a couple of new movies coming in. You've also have this thing called The Invisible Woman, is it?
Yes. Well, right now we're playing a new film called The Invisible Woman, which is about Charles Dickens. And actually, he had a secret love affair. I actually didn't know about this. I studied him in school, of course, but apparently he had a mistress his entire life who was really considered the love of his life. So it's kind of that love story. And we actually got some very exciting news today at the Fargo Theater. We found out we're going to be opening on March 28th the new Veronica Mars movie.
Ooh.
So we're pretty excited about that coming up.
Excellent. Excellent. Mm-hmm. The theater, by the way, folks, you can check that out. Your webpage is fargotheater.com, simply that.
Yep, absolutely.
Now, I forget, do you spell the theater with the R-E or the E-R?
R-E. Okay. We're pretty fancy like
You're
that.
Pretty classy. Pretty classy, let me tell you. And by the way, I just want to say, if you've never been there, folks, I'm not sure how often you have the guys playing the organ down there, but you guys have, you've had two or three people, I think, two at least, mm-hmm. who are playing mm-hmm. that mighty Wurlitzer. And you ain't been at any movie, baby, unless you've been there with a mighty Wurlitzer. It's hot in action before it begins.
So, absolutely. That is a way to kick off a movie screening in style.
Emily, thank you so much for joining us tonight. And I want to thank you for inviting me over there to share some of these films and a chance to share some of these things that I saw with the listeners of KFGO. Once again, it's another fantastic year for you guys. And number 15 is just around the corner. I mean, you're making plans already. Holy smokes.
You better believe it. We're hatching some big plans for the 15th anniversary.
Emily, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Bob. Thank
you. Have a great night now.
You too.
Take care. Bye-bye. That's Emily.